And grab your Bibles, if you have that, phones, whatever, to 1 Peter. We're going to continue on this series, and I can't think of a better book at this period of time to go through, because at that point in the early church, the struggle they had was persecution was starting to step up. And because of that, Christians had to leave, flee from their family. Oftentimes, their lives were on the line, not only just their finances and jobs, but also up to the point of death. And Peter writes this letter of encouragement to him. And we've been talking about how, you know, how do we handle all this? And I think part of what's going on in this world as Christians, especially as American Christians, we've gone kind of fat and happy. We haven't had a lot of blowback from the world. We've kind of blended in and done what the world does, and you know, we've kind of like, oh yeah, I'm part of the world, but I have Jesus kind of tagged on. But I think as this world is going on, the gap is getting greater. I can't help but think, have you ever seen, my family likes to watch America's Funniest Videos. I think it's a horrible show, because have you guys ever watched America's Funniest Videos? I'd ask you how many of you guys like it. It's a horrible show. Oh, people are getting hurt and people are laughing. Oh, you guys are just meanies. But the scene I always like is, he got the guy who has the boat and he's trying to bring it in, and so he brings the boat up to the dock, and you know, he's got 1 foot on the boat and then he's got 1 foot on the dock, and you know what happens, right? It starts spreading. Sooner or later, either he has to make a choice which way he's going, or he's going to go. And of course, are you, America's Funniest People, you want to see him go right into the water. Shame on you all. No. Right? And I think that's part of the process that's going on in the world, that we're having this divide between what the Scripture says, because it doesn't change, and society trying to rewrite and change everything. And it's getting harder as Christians to kind of straddle that fence, to bridge the gap. And it's forcing us into taking a stand. And because of that, Christians are taking more heat in America than before. And it's not an issue to which we look at and become discouraged in. And actually, Peter, who is writing to Christians who are, not being picked on, but actually being persecuted, he writes a letter to them, and his theme is really rejoicing. Things are just packed full in this, especially in this first chapter, about the rejoicing and the praise of all we have in Christ Jesus. And as Christians, I think we will find joy as we start leaving the world behind and really start pursuing Jesus and God. And we'll find joy and peace in all those things. We're going to pick things up in chapter 1, verses 6 through, actually, I say 9. I didn't get all the way down to 9 this morning. I doubt I'll get, I don't think I'll get all the way down to 9 this morning as well. But it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul." That's a mouthful. Actually, I did not do well in English in school. Anyone here really like English? My wife likes English, right? Anyone really likes English? I feel bad for you. Because you got to put up with me. English, I always tell people I speak American, I don't speak English. Actually, at my last church, I had probably about 5 teachers. And after every sermon, when I was first there, they would give me a lesson on how all the words I used improperly. So I got a little English lesson, and I think they finally gave up. But I remember being in school, and I liked to write stories and write papers. I enjoy the language. So I would do really well in the content of my papers I handed in, but I would get really bad reports on my English that I used, right? So the teacher said the content was good, but the English was bad. And back then, I don't know if they're even allowed to do this anymore, my English teachers always had a red pen. They loved the red pen. And they would circle and beer. And so finally, I had one of the teachers say, John, listen, you got to get a hold on this. And he says, look, one of my big issues I have is run-on sentences. And the teacher says, listen, John, it's really this simple. Put a period when you breathe. Right? So in your sentence, read it through and put a period when you breathe. And so, okay, I can do that. So I would read my thing, and I handed it in, and I'd get a bunch of red on it. And I found out I don't breathe when I talk. Now, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. Right? One of the bad things about doing this all online is I have been trying, editing everything. And so I've been listening to myself trying to find a spot to edit. And I'm like, I'm waiting for me to take a breath. I don't breathe. And I'm like, I don't feel bad, because actually you go through these three verses here with Peter. There is actually two sentences in all these verses. Peter does run-on sentences, so I'm in good company. I don't feel so bad now, right? Peter had a mouth issue. I know what that's like. Sometimes I have Peter in trouble. I know what that's like too. But this is like a big, and I think it's part of it, as Peter is writing this, he's just so excited to tell you these things. Yeah, you guys are in tribulation, right? But let me tell you about Jesus, the hope we have. You want to turn our frowns upside down, if you will. If you want to get excited, start thinking about what we have in Christ. Start thinking about what's in store for us. Think about heaven, right? As we look at this world, you know what? I'm glad this isn't my inheritance. I'm glad this is not my last stop. I'm glad that there's a home in glory that can outshine the sun, the song says. A place of no more tears and no more sorrows. A place of diversity. It's interesting. In Christ, we are all brought together. It doesn't matter your color, your skin. Doesn't matter if you are a have or a have not. All that is brought together in Christ. I couldn't help but think, I was listening to protesters, and everyone's protesting on all sides of everything. And I was listening to these voices, and I was like, this is what we want, and this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what. And I'm like, you know what they all want? They want heaven. That's what they want. And the problem is we're fallen, broken people who will never reach that apart from Christ. And I'm thinking, you know what? I know where I'm going. I have in store for me, right? And that's what the first few verses of 1 Peter's talking all about, the inheritance we have. Right? If you are a Christian and accepted Christ as your Savior, you are guaranteed a spot in heaven. The mansion's already being built. Think about that. Right? You are a chosen, elect people. God loves you. He knows your name. All these things are in Christ. That's why I think Peter in here writes this, and he is so excited. And how is it that we can be in tribulation and rejoice? How do those two go together? That does not make earthly sense. But we're not earthly people. We're of the kingdom of God. That in this, we can have tribulation in this world and still have the joy of the Lord. It just depends on where we look our eyes at. And so Peter writes on through here and talks about this idea of trials. And there's some lessons in here, and just in these first few verses here. Right? First of all, I want to tell you that tribulation is inevitable. Trials are inevitable. If you are a born-again Christian, that Christ is in your life, that in here he is trying to make you in his image. He's working in us to create in us Christ-likeness, right? And so you say, oh, wow. You know, because we talk about Jesus. Oh, Jesus was peaceful. Everyone loved Jesus. Did everyone love Jesus? No. Here he was. He was a perfect man who went about and did perfect deeds of helping and feeding. All these things that we say, oh, these are all, you know, if we all do this, then we'll be loved and accepted, right? Jesus fed and healed and cared, met the needs. But at the end of the day, they crucified him. Why? Because men like darkness rather than light. Because when you come to Jesus, yes, he loves you as you are, but he doesn't want you to stay that way. He died for you, to redeem you, to bring you to himself, to work in you a change, to follow him. And kind of like that guy in the boat, right? Pick a side. And the world doesn't want that. The world wants to be able to have its sin and be able to do what it wants. They want to do what's right in their own eyes. And what happens is when they come to God, I don't like that. I remember witnessing to a gentleman once. We're talking about God. We're talking about some various, you know, what the Bible says about different things. He goes, well, I don't like that God. He goes, I talked to this other guy. He goes, I like their God better. Well, wait a minute. No, we can't. God says he is who he is. It's not up to me to pick and choose what I like about him, right? So we need to choose. But by walking with Christ, and as we reflect in him, if they were willing to kill Jesus, what will they do to us? Jesus warns his disciples in John chapter 15, 18 through 21. It says, but if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that is said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Jesus says, look, you know what? There's people who hate me. There are people who hate Christians because our stance for Christ. Because we stand on the word of God and we say this is right and we say this is wrong. And if so, if people hate me because my stand for Christ, then what happens is we're in good company because they did it to him. Jesus says, look, if they did this to the master, they'll do this to the servants, and we're his servants. Now, I got to be real clear here because I could be a real jerk, right? I could be an idiot. Politically, I have my views that in here, I have opinions. I have a lot of, my wife will tell you, I have an opinion on everything. I don't even know anything about it. I still have an opinion on it. Right? I could be an idiot. I could be a jerk. If I didn't persecute it for that sake, then that's on me. Right? If I'm being picked on because of my political views, then that's on me. One of the things that kind of scared me, we turn around and talk about this whole idea, you know, being on Facebook and all that, is people are a lot more opinionated online than they are in person. And people take a lot of heat for their political opinions one way or the other. But you know what? I wish, and there's some Christians that I know who are very vocal about their political rights, their political opinion, that I have never seen them put on there a spiritual position or a stand for God. They're more willing to stand for their politics and then for God. That's a shame. If I suffer for my views on God and what God has said, then I am in good company. If I am persecuted because I'm being a jerk, then that's shame on me. Does that make sense? And sometimes it's hard, you know, we want to take and cloud the whole thing and muddy it all up. But if I would take a stand for Christ, and I was more vocal in my stand for Christ, and my goal becomes to pursue what Christ wants in my life, I think that would transform so many of us. And it may not make us more friends. But you know what? I'd rather be friends with God than worry about my friendship with someone else. Jesus turns around and says, "These things have I spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Once again, we have this Christian paradox, right? In this world we'll have tribulation, right? In this world we're not going to fit in. In this world, as this world gets darker, we're going to shine brighter, hopefully, as Christians, and we're going to stick out more. And because of that, we might get persecuted from the world, but yet he says at the same time, I have this overcome the world. At the same time, we turn around and we can have peace. We can have peace. Right? That's exactly what Peter is talking about, right? In this tribulation, you guys are rejoicing. How does that work? It all depends on where I'm getting my feedback from. If at the end of the day, and this is a good definition of success because I have to work through this. At the end of the day, have I done what God wanted me to do? Right? Then if so, I can go to bed at night at peace. It's when I worry about what everyone else says. When I'm worried about someone's going to friend me or unfriend me, when I'm worried about everyone's opinion of me on these various things, then I'm in turmoil, because what happens is that's always a moving target. You know, it's amazing. You watch the press, and man, on one minute they're elevating someone up as the greatest hero, and if they don't fall in line with the latest political hip thing, then they're ostracized. Right? And so people are scrambling. I can't remember there was a football player, the quarterback, who turned out, and he took an opinion on, he gave why. Fast forward the next day, he was up there apologizing because he took the pressure of the heat, you know? And in order to, you know, that's our society we live in. And if you try to live your life to please everyone, especially in this political environment, you're going to go yourself nuts. You'll never find peace. The world can't give you peace because it's always changing, always seeking the approval, and you'll never get it. But Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His word hasn't changed. It doesn't blow the bend of political correctness. And at the end of the day, God, if I done what you wanted me to do, then so I can have peace in him. If his is the only opinion that matters, we are so much better for it. And I dare say, as Christians, if we are not being persecuted, now, I have a hard time using that word just because what we face in this country is nothing compared to some countries where they're dying. In the Middle East, people die for their faith. We get picked on. So I hate to use that same word to kind of, right? But at the end of the day, right, as a Christian, if I blend in with the world and I'm not taking any heat, then maybe I need to check how brightly am I shining for God. Right? I remember years ago hearing a preacher talk about, he goes, you know what? There's so many Christians that Satan just leaves alone because they're not doing anything. It's the Christians who are doing something for Christ, who are on fire for him, who are a witness to him, that they come under the attack of the devil. He goes, maybe that's a, you know, I'm not telling you to go out and seek out persecution. But if we take a stand for Christ, we'll take it. And if we take a hit for Christ, it's not because of us, it's because of him. Second thing I want to look at, lessons in trials. First one, it's inevitable, but also they're temporary. It's temporary. Peter says this in verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And he says, though for a little while. You know, the last time we were in this building was, like I said, March 15th. And churches are now starting to come back together in various forms and all that. And it's funny because, you know, people act like, man, we've been doing this for years. I know it feels like a long time. Actually, it was weird coming back in. I had to come down last night because some of the equipment we used for our drive-in service to get everything all back up, it actually felt weird going back to normal. Right? Have you found that in your life? It's kind of weird to kind of, you know, I talked to someone, they're like, yeah, I've been working at home, and now they want me to go back into the office, and it's weird going back to normal. But it seems like so long, and we're people with very short attention spans. Because we feel like, oh man, this is so hard for so long. But you know what? This is just a drop in the bucket. This too shall pass, and we're going to move on to the next chapter. And even now, even if this is the new, even if, and I believe persecution is going to get worse. I've read the book, right? In the big picture now, could there be a great revival in this land? I would pray for that. That'd be fantastic. But eventually, things are going to get worse until finally we have the rapture, and then we get into the book of Revelation where we have some really wicked things start happening. But that spirit of Antichrist is in the world now working towards these things. You know, someone said, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You think there's some... I don't necessarily think there's a group all behind this. I believe there's principalities and powers and evil and wickedness behind the scenes. As Satan is behind moving this towards that one world government of turning around and turning this world against God, this humanistic. We see that in the Tower of Babel, where here, man built up, and we'll reach up to God. We can be our own God as man collectively gets together, and that's the form we're having today. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. But even so, compared to eternity, this is just a drop in the bucket. Right? We can endure for a little while. It's amazing. Life is really an odd thing because it seems so long while you're in it or looking ahead. But it seems so short when you look back. You know, I've been at so many deathbeds, being there with couples who have been married 50, 60, 70 years. That seems like a long time. We've been married 30 years. And I know my wife thinks that, you know, sometimes it feels longer than that. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound good when I see it that way, does it? You know, right? But, you know, but you sit there and they're holding on to their hand and waiting for the person to pass away. And their number one request is, I wish I just had a little bit more time. It's so brief. It's not enough. And that's one of the great things about eternity with Jesus, is there's no end to it. We'll never have to say goodbye again. We'll always have enough time. This world is so temporal. The Bible says it's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It's like the flower that blooms and fades, right? It's quick. The suffering we're going through now, no matter how bad it gets, it's only for a short period of time. Endure. You can do it. And we can turn our eyes on Jesus in the midst of it all. And here's that sorry, oxymoron, once again, that we can grieve but rejoice. It all depends on where our focus is at. Where's our eyes? I think one of the hardest things throughout all of this is people have been so self-isolated. People have been locked down. You know where the worst place in the world to be trapped in? Is your own head. Because it's so easy to get worked up into a dark place, to feed on itself and go on. The best cure is to get out of yourself, to serve and look and minister, right? I think one of the most biggest underestimated things when people were talking about church, because it's, you know, oh, well, you can do it online, or even, you know, finally they say, well, you can do it in a car. There is something special that takes place. I need to be together with you. And I look forward to the day when all the church can be together, all together. I look forward to the day when I can hug you all. Whether you want it or not, I'm going to hug you in Jesus' name. Right? I'm not going to tell you when, because some of you are going to run away. I know how that is. Years ago, I was walking in, I was in Hannaford, and this lady came down from the church, and she saw me. And I saw her see me. And she turned around. Now, I was much younger. I wouldn't do this today. But she saw me, and we clocked eyes. And she looked at me, and she turned around and scooted away from me. Like I said, I was a little younger, a little more foolish. But I was like, Sally, Sally! I ran towards her. And she's like trying to scoot faster. Well, I'm pretty fast. I was younger and thinner. And I caught up to her. And I give her a big hug. And she goes, I wasn't trying to avoid you, liar. I saw you. We did this thing. Yo. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I just knew you'd want to talk to me, and I'm really in a hurry. I said, how'd that work out for you? But, right? We need each other. And actually, funny, I was just listening to a report the other day, and they're talking about health officials are now talking about the dangers mentally that people are having of all of this. And they're like, you know what? Maybe as people, we need each other. Yeah! Okay, anyways. It's only for a little while. I haven't preached to people. You know, I preached to cars. I've preached to empty pews. I got people here, Jim. Put up with me for a minute, all right? Sorry. All right, last one. I wonder why I didn't get through all the verses last time, right? All right, this is the last one we're going to do. The lessons and trials, right? They're inevitable. If you are serving Christ, you will be persecuted for it because they persecuted Jesus. So don't take it personal. They're not after you. They're after him. It's temporary. It's only for a period of time. This world, don't invest all your money here. Don't invest all your energy here. This is all temporary. There's bigger things. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Last one, it's profitable. These trials are good for us. Now, I don't like them, right? But trials are kind of like the Brussels sprouts, right? You know, actually, it's true. I like Brussels sprouts, right? But, you know, right? They're good for you, but you don't like them. Trials are kind of that way. They're necessary. They're helpful for you. James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The trials we go through build us in our faith. God says, look, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God, you got to have faith. How do I get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God works in us to produce patience and faith. And it's a process. God, you know, when you get saved, God doesn't all of a sudden just zap you, and all of a sudden now you're perfect. Because you know what happened? You would snap like a twig. Years ago, when we were in Bible school, we were helping a guy move, and he had this big, beautiful weight bench. And so we all moved up, and he was had pizza afterwards, so we were all helping him move in. So we used to have this weight bench. Well, a bunch of guys were all together. We're like, oh, look at this. Oh, yeah, oh, oh. And I was never a weightlifting kind of guy. But, and I can say, I'm saying this as a man, all right? The more of us there are together, the stupider we are. Right? You'll have one guy or one boy. It doesn't matter. Boy, you have one boy, right? You get two boys, and they'll do something that one boy won't do. You get a group, Chris, am I right? Yes. You know, you get more of us together. I remember talking to one guy, and they're doing a getting married, the groom has a bunch of guys together. Well, yeah, but it wasn't like a woohoo. But they turned around and they were out having a big barbecue type of thing. And all of a sudden, next thing they know, on Facebook Live, they were blowing up the propane tanks for the grill. Because all of a sudden, hey, this is a good idea. Yeah, oh yeah, right? Hey, let's get George, come over here. What do you think? Should we blow this up? Yeah, right? The more of us there are, the dumber we are. The testosterone takes over. And maybe that's sexist, I don't know. But anyway, so we're moving this weight bench up, and they're putting the weights on, and all of us were like, you know, I was 20-something. And so we're all out there like, yeah, oh yeah, put on more. So we're all doing this. Has anyone ever done this? We're probably on more and more weight, and we're like, oh yeah, I do it all. And we're like, and so we're just straightened. And finally, when we're all done, we ate the pizza, went home. I woke up the next morning, and I was like, honey, I can't move my arms. It hurt to breathe. I mean, I was just like eating cereal, like, trying to, I can't, and it hurt, and you ever done that, Jim? All right, good, because it was more than one guy, too, right? Exactly, and so I was just like, oh, I can't do this, right? And I was young then. I'm used to going to bed, waking up refreshed the next morning. The next day, I was like, you know, finally I got to where I could actually move, right? Josh, have you ever done this? Okay, good. All right, I'm not the only one. And I'm like, all right, so you know, finally I can move. I'm like, okay, I can move. All right. But then it's like, ow, 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 ow. I couldn't believe right? For about 2 weeks or so, it hurt to move anything. Pastor, why'd you just go through all that? Because faith is that way. God takes us and tries us and works in us little by little that we get stronger. And in here we see God working. He's answered prayers. And what happens is slowly but surely we get to a point where God has had victories in our lives that he didn't have before. All of a sudden now I'm trusting him like I never did before. It doesn't happen all at once. These trials are for our benefit, to train us. If God did, you know, like we did with the weights, and all of a sudden dumped everything all on us at once, we would have caved. It's for your benefit. It's for your profit that God is working in you. Right? Trials reveal your faith. It's easy to say, God, I trust you. God, I love you. God, I will serve you. But then there's coronavirus, and I'm like, right? It's easy to say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do until the trials come. Then we find out, you know what, I wasn't that strong. I wasn't that vocal. I didn't believe as much as I thought I did. Trials reveal those things in us. And then really the test is how we react to those trials. That's the test. Right? Because so much what's happening around us is something that's outside of our control. So much of it is outside of our control. The test is, how do I react to it? The book of Job, there's Job, Satan messes up with him. And his friends show up and say, hey, you've sinned and you have problems. And Job's like, no, I didn't. And it goes back and forth for like 30-some chapters. Finally, there's a young guy called Elihu who comes in. And Elihu comes in and says, look, I'm just a young guy. He goes, and I can't tell you what happened before, Job. I can't tell you if this is because of sin. I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. I can tell you how you're dealing with it right now. And he said, Job, you're not handling with it right now. The question is, how do you handle the situation that you're in? In the trials, in the tribulation, how do you react to it? That's what you can control. That's really the test. Lord, I love you until, God, I will serve you until I get pushed too far. God, I'll live the Christian life until this happens, right? Where is those lines? And testing shows that. Book of Ephesians talks about the whole armor of God. The whole purpose of the armor of God is to help us to stand. It is to help us to stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And sometimes, you know, I've done this here and a few other places. Sometimes it gets sort of, people like, this is kind of, not superficial, but kind of heady. But it's really simple. How do I live the Christian life, right? How do I stand? How do I stand firm on my faith? Right, the helmet of salvation. God, I belong to you. You've saved me. I belong to you. Breastplate of righteousness. Do the right thing. Do what God wants you to do. Stick to the truth, the belt of truth. God, what is your truth? Not the world's truth. It changes every day. Right? You go nuts. Oatmeal is good for you. It's bad for you. Coffee, don't drink it. It'll save your life. Right? It's all over the place. Right? You know, even you talk about the mask. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Right? Wear a filter mask. Well, don't wear a filter mask. It keeps out the spit. Don't spit on people. Well, my mom told me that as a kid. I got that one figured out. Right? It's changing every day. God's word doesn't change. Stick to the truth, what God says, right? The belt of truth, the shield of faith. Hide behind it. God, this is what you said. I'm going to trust you. Feet in peace. God, I'm going to stand in your peace. Very practical. Very practical. So with that said, lessons in faith. Trials are inevitable. They're temporary, but folks, they're profitable for you. Stand strong. Rejoice. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he'll see you through. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord, we praise you in the storm because you are in the boat. Lord, we praise you through this coronavirus. We praise you through the tribulations we're going through because you have a plan and you hold us in your hand. Fill us with your joy. Help us to stand in the midst of the trials. And Lord, if I suffer, help me suffer for you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.